and then we'll begin. Thank you.
There's no battery. Charge. You can record and charge at the same time.
Only is there a computer?
No. So that's the only one that will record. This one, it's charging. And you can record it because it's charging. So just use that one.
Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon. I just made an announcement that we were waiting for a couple more people, and then we'll begin.
We're going to get started today. So before our chair is on, I'm going to do our little welcome. Good afternoon and welcome to the May 24th, 2023 Juvenile Justice Coordinating Council Juvenile Justice Realignment Block Grant, or our JJCC-JJRBG meeting. We thank you for joining us today. Before we do the roll call, I want to draw your attention to page one of the agenda that includes instructions on how to submit your information to make a public comment. As indicated on the agenda, please send an email to the JJCC email address that is listed on the agenda in order to submit your request to make the live or written public comment. Please be sure to include all of the requested information. If you have any questions, we will send a follow-up email regarding any missing information that is needed. If you have questions or experiencing connectivity issues, please contact us by sending an email to the JJCC email address. If you're using your phone and for some reason are unable to send an email from your phone, please call us and we will provide assistance. My phone number is 562-319-7341. We want to ensure that you are able to provide you assistance so that you can inform us of the agenda item you wish to address and we can place you in the order received so we can process your request. To repeat, my phone number, 562-319-7341. Feel free to call during the meeting and someone will answer to help you with your request to be addressed to those requesting to make a live public comment.
We do have a recurring issue of receiving requests for public comments without the requirement of indicating the specific agenda item associated with the request and or a telephone number to complete a follow-up contact for the live public request. When either or both items are missing, we will send a follow-up email to request the required information that is needed to assist you in making a public comment. Therefore, please stay available and watch your device for a follow-up email from us. People taking live public comments on both agenda items today that are listed as items, I think there's three A and B. Please be sure to listen when we will be taking public comments under the sections. Additionally, if you submit a request to speak on more than one agenda item, we will contact you for the second item as it appears on the agenda. Please stay near your device for the second item you requested. Please be sure to answer the telephone when we call you. There are times when we experience a high volume of emails and our team will respond as soon as possible. These steps and information are intended to assist you in the process of making your public comments. With that, Madam Chair, with your permission, I'm going to begin the roll call.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you. Our chair is Bureau Chief Sharon Rada.
Present.
Department of Mental Health, Dr. Karen Strike.
Present.
Department of Public Social Services, everyone, we have a new member, and I may say your name wrong, as Lawson Fu.
That's perfect. Yep, Lawson Fu, present.
Thank you, and welcome to JJCC. Our next member is District Attorney's Office, Shalon Joseph.
Present, thank you.
Juvenile Superior Court, Tricia Penrose.
Present.
Sometimes it takes a minute on you. Los Angeles County Office of Education, Tapal Osborne. Tapal with us?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Public Defender's Office, Luis Rodriguez.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Nonprofit CBO Representative, Supervisorial District 1, Bikilo Ochoa.
Present, thank you.
Nonprofit CBO Representative, Supervisorial District 2, Patricia Song. Don't see Patricia yet. Nonprofit CBO Representative, Supervisorial District 3, Josh Green.
Present, thank you.
Nonprofit CBO Representative, Supervisorial District 4, Alexis Hernandez.
Present.
And Nonprofit CBO Representative, Supervisorial District 5, Dr. Nicole Vienna. I don't see, oh, there she is. Dr. Vienna?
Here. Right, I'm here. I'm just via phone right now.
Okay, great. All right, so Madam Chair, we have 11 present. You have a quorum.
Thank you. So I'm going to proceed with the welcome. Thank you and welcome and good afternoon, everybody, to our RBG subcommittee meeting. I'm currently serving, as you know, as a chair of JJCC and its subcommittees. I also wanted to give you an update with regards to in-person meetings. We received additional information that as a Brown Act body, we must comply with the requirements of the meetings and return to in-person meetings. This is as a result of the expiration of the governor's COVID-19 emergency order on February 28, 2023, ending the ability of members of a Brown Act body to appear remotely under AB 361. So today's meeting, because it's informational and no voting or action will be taken, our subcommittee can proceed virtually. However, for our next meeting, will we return to in-person. So as an update to that, we are looking for in-person sites so that we can schedule the next meeting in June. Also, based on our understanding of what occurred at some previous meetings, I know that the spending plan ad hoc subcommittee we'll need to meet and work on a budget and bring it back to this body. So we will schedule that meeting within the next few weeks in order to prepare for the next JJCC, JJRBG in-person meeting in June 2023. So before we move on to new business, I want to welcome our newest JJCC member. Of course, Sharon Hawkins already extended a warm welcome, but from the Department of Social Services, Mr. Lawson Fu. So welcome, Mr. Fu. We just wanted to say that again. So thank you very much for serving with us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So we're going to move on to new business. I'm going to begin by just covering the fact that the JJCC, JJRBG annual plan template was submitted to the Office of Youth and Community Restoration by the deadline of May 1st of this year in 2023. The deadline, as you know or may be aware, also coincides with the Juvenile Justice Crime Prevention Act or JJCPA application, which includes our county's comprehensive multi-agency juvenile justice plan, which was also submitted by May 1, 2023 for fiscal year 23-24 to the Board of State and Community Corrections. So as we move on to the next agenda item, we'll provide an update on the transition of youth from the Division of Juvenile Justice. So I'm just going to go into some updates, and then we will make it open to JJRBG member discussion, and then from then proceed to public comment. So just a few updates. With regards to DJJ youth returning to LA County, as of last Wednesday, which was May 17th, there remains approximately 20 young people at DJJ pending transition to LA County. So just so everybody knows, three of which are currently have a Board of Juvenile hearing matters scheduled, and the release has been recommended by DJJ. So usually once that happens, then we get notified and then the court goes through its regular process to transition the young person back to LA County. Additionally, for that group of youth, so that leaves about 17, Superior Court or Juvenile Court has scheduled hearings to transition the young people back to LA County as well. Another update I wanted to provide was on step-down contracts. On May 18th, our department submitted an update to the Board of Supervisors in response to the motion of creating less restrictive programs for eligible SYTF and DJJ youth, essential for successful transformation. And that was dated December 20th of 2022. In collaboration with DYD, our department worked on a design for a step-down pilot program with the goal of enhancing and expanding services for youth as they transition back to the community. Of four potential CBO providers, probation is proceeding with executing contracts with Amity Foundation and Boys Republic. And we're continuing to work on identifying and selecting additional community-based providers to serve SYTF and DJJ youth needs. So this will be a two-year agreement for housing and supportive services. After the first year, we're going to look at what we've learned from the programs and the housing and the process to inform the RFP to take place to be solidified after the second year. And we anticipate that with these two contracts, we will be ready to serve young people sometime in the month of June. So we're in process and we're very close. And then we can provide an update on that at our next meeting. Additionally, you may be familiar that juvenile court has ordered young people to various types of step downs, which include Camp DKC, Pine Grove. There's an STRTP, and then some CBOs who are transitional housing currently, like Amity, all under Welfare and Institutions Code, Section 875F. So I wanted to open it up for JJRBG member discussion, and then we can go from there.
I'm trying to raise my hand, so my apologies. I do have my apologies if I sound ignorant, but and I see that we have Mr. Nelson, Tyson Nelson from County Council. After yesterday's BSCC vote, the basic question for me is, what role does this committee play moving forward, given that decision? I don't know if that goes to Tyson or Ms. Ferrada, anybody?
Hey, this is Tyson. So I think this committee operates independent of what the BSCC decided yesterday. So this committee will continue making the decisions regarding the spending plans as required by the state.
I just, this is Josh. I think what you were saying, we don't have a raised hand function, so we're just going to jump in. But my understanding is that the BSCC decision, at least as articulated by the BSCC council, was that they weren't addressing the SYPF population. And so, to Tyson's point, like, nothing really changes for us. Although, I have a follow-up question about, I mean, it's been discussed here, but given the understanding and sort of the acknowledgement of some of the staffing challenges at the two halls as being contributing factors to the BACC's finding, what is the plan in this very short term for the SYTF population that will remain at Barry J as we figure out next steps? I'm not even sure, Sharon, if you were able in your capacity to answer that question, but it's one of the things that has been sort of underneath of all of our discussions here. So if there is clarity around, as there's now obviously a deadline that was significantly sooner than what probation's representatives and the county's representatives asked for, what is the plan to maintain staffing at Barry J and Kilpatrick while needing to reallocate and get another new hall up and running?
So, Josh, that is in process. I'm going to be honest. I'm not fully integrated into the SYTF facility staffing. I actually am over the transition staffing, you know, the staff who supervise young people, either who are released home on probation from DJJ or SYTF, or they are actually in a step down facility as ordered by juvenile court. So we do have Valerie Van Kirk on here, but I know that they are working on different things. So if, you know, what we probably need to do is give an update at the next meeting, unless she has anything to weigh in. But I know that, you know, yesterday's decision was one thing, and we're moving towards transition, and we have time frames for all of that. So we're having to address a group of things at once. But I hear you.
Hi, this is Valerie. I can't turn on my camera for some reason. But yeah, we're working on that, and I think it's best that once we have more information based on the decision that was made yesterday, and we probably provide an update in the future. But it is a high priority.
And just so you know, Josh, the intent is to convene the spending ad hoc subcommittee, I hope I'm saying that correctly, very quickly in the next, hopefully 2 weeks, and then schedule a meeting shortly thereafter in person. So we will get you information. We are working within the department, and of course having to address different concerns with regards to that as well as juvenile hall.
Yeah, thanks, Sharon. And I mean, just as context, and I see that we now have a hand raise function. Thank you. Which I just didn't use, and I see Tequila's hands up, but and others, Shalon as well. But what I'll just say is, I know that you are probably coming up to speed because, you know, having worked in other spaces with you, I know that you already had a number of things on your plate, but I just, maybe some things to name that would be helpful, because I think it's helpful for the spending subcommittee to be thinking about allocations in relationship to what supports or resources will be there or may not be there. And in particular, what level of, you know, like we've been talking for a while about the special recruitment notice. I know that went through, but like even just a report back about like what is the status of that. I know it was discussed at the BSUC, but I'm not sure that there was sort of concrete representations of what was the outcome of that special recruitment notice. How might we think about that? Because at least from my perspective in the conversations we had in this space around spending allocations or recommendations, the goal was to sort of like augment and also fill gaps that might be there. So it would be helpful to have some of that context so that subcommittee could integrate that and what it brings back here.
Okay, thank you. Akila?
Thanks, Ryan. Just maybe dovetailing a little bit off of Josh's point, it was helpful to sort of hear you clarify sort of what your role and probation is. So I guess it'd be good to know sort of who is now over SYTF and probation. Maybe she or he could present to this committee, or at least present to the funding subcommittee. Because I mean, I imagine this, given yesterday's decision, you know, I think the funding committee did have sort of proposed buckets to fund, but you know, those buckets and points of emphasis might change in light of yesterday's BSCC decision. So it'd be great to sort of hear whomever that person is over SYTF now, sort of how they're processing yesterday's decision and sort of, you know, what gaps in services they anticipate and then ways in which, and then we can sort of think through how funding could possibly support those new gaps. So thank you.
Thank you. Shaylon.
I think you're on mute, Shaylon,
we can't hear for some reason.
Thank you. I'm just wondering, you said that you anticipate contracts with Amity and Boise Public happening by June?
Sometime in June.
Okay, and then Amity can only serve youth 18 and over, correct?
I would have to check.
Okay, I think that's right. So I'm just wondering if Boys Republic is also only going to be serving that age population.
It might be, but I will check, and then I will report back.
Okay, and do we know approximately how many, spaces are open for each organization to service?
Actually, I need to check that as well, so sorry. I actually
referenced
the general stuff, but I will have that information for the spending subcommittee so that they know. And I know that we're trying to expedite things as quickly as possible. So as soon as that's up and running, of course, then, you know, we will let the partners know. And, of course, Superior Court, because those are court ordered.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Were there any other?
Josh has his hand up.
Oh, Josh. Oh, I'm sorry. Josh.
No, that's totally fine. This is the first time I'm using the hand raise function. I was just going to ask kind of a slightly different trajectory. I mean, I think it's relevant here, which is to the extent that if you were able to share back, because I know that, I mean, it's very hard to pull apart the various threads of what is happening in LA County right now in terms of the juvenile halls. But to the extent that the experience and then the available resources and the capacity for any young people at the juvenile halls, including the SYTF population, are impacted by how many educated youth are being held, I'm wondering if you have any information or can sort of share back any reports on the structured release motion that was passed by the board several weeks ago. It preceded the CEO's letter around the plan to consolidate Barry J and Central. But I'm just wondering, especially as there's going to be a consolidation that's coming very quickly, we haven't really heard a report back, I mean, in this space or generally about how that process has been going to convene the hearings to review for release in the pre-adjudicated population, which would, you know, given what we know about the staffing and other capacity challenges, be helpful information, I think, for this body.
So, I guess it is on the POC agenda tomorrow, Josh, to talk about the structured release motion. The motion was dated March 21st of this year. So we are doing an update. There's at least three or four. Well, actually, there's a group of us doing an update tomorrow at POC. I'm not sure, Tyson, I need to agendize this. It's not quite the same topic. It's more on the it is pre and post adjudication, but the focus is on not this DJJ SYTF grouping or of young people. It's more on the non-707Bs, et cetera.
Hi, Sharon. Tyson. Sorry. Let me see if my camera is working. No. Oh, it is. Okay, there I am. Okay. I think I'm not intimately aware of how we would label the two things that you just distinguished. So if you feel it falls under a very broad topic of discussing the DJJ transition plan, I think it's fine. If you feel that that does not properly kind of notify the community, then we can agendize it for the next meeting. But I can say A is very broad.
Well, you know what, Josh? I'll just give a very broad response. We're going to have some more detail tomorrow, and then, you know, we can go from there, you know, if I need to agendize it or talk about it. But so the motion passed on March 21st, and all of the partners, a group of us which are on this call, actually, we have a weekly juvenile justice collaborative team meetings to discuss at a high level young people. And on the motion, the prioritization of young people to look at were non-707Bs, misdemeanor and technical violations, and then youth awaiting maybe transportation to a placement or STRTP or to camp or DKC. So that was the prioritization group in the directive on the board motion. So we've been meeting weekly since, I'm looking at my calendar, April 13th. So we meet on Thursdays, and we work together with the Youth Council to identify cases. The Youth Council actually does the pre-work. We also talk together about the data, and then we schedule individual meetings for young people, and then we walk that through and get the appropriate representatives. So some young people are crossover youth, right? They may be supervised by DCFS under dependency court jurisdiction, and some are just delinquency court jurisdiction. So there's a different partners and collaborative partners that we meet with. And then we've had some debriefing meetings as well on the process as we fine-tune things, and we keep moving forward. So I don't know if is that helpful. We schedule between two to six meetings a week. It depends.
Does that translate into 2 to 3 to 6 young people who are being assessed per week? Is that the
yes.
A meeting, one meeting per young person?
Yes.
So, I mean, it is helpful, and maybe I don't know what will be shared tomorrow at the POC, but the reason I think it's important for this body, and maybe to Tyson's point, it's just a matter of agendizing for our next meeting as well, just with some, and the type of details that I think might be helpful for me, because one of the things that we've sort of, I believe this body sort of settled on, which is why there was an acknowledgement, I believe even sort of a resolution around the recognition that a county-wide plan is needed to sort of address for the SYTF population, because there are a number of different needs, and figuring out how different facilities may support the overall population of young people to the extent that that's happening. What are the outcomes from the meetings? Like, are we likely to be able to see, and how might we plan on a reduction in capacity for the pre-adjudicated population, so that it might begin to think about how we can reallocate some of those resources to support the SYTF population? Or, you know, that's at least where my mind is at. So I don't know if that kind of information will be at the POC, but that would be really helpful for me as I think through, like, how to think about spending, where to be investing, what types of supports to be investing in. So I know you may not have that today, but...
So tomorrow is more the general process, because we're going to talk across partner agencies, so as well as they have a representative from somewhere in New Jersey who's going to share a little bit about, you know, how that they did that effort. A little bit different circumstance, but similar intent, right? For us, we are looking to report out in more detail, probably, I don't want to give a date, but we're compiling information now, because as you may be aware, you know, we have a team meeting, and then we have to do some actions afterwards, and then go through the court process, and some court hearings are scheduled more quickly than others, and some things have to continue to be addressed in order to facilitate and support the release. So it's different for every young person. But it's going to be a little bit more general tomorrow, because we've been doing, let's see, we've had maybe 5 weeks or 6 weeks, is it? So we're getting to a point where the scheduling and the process is becoming more, you know, like it's a regular process versus having to juggle things as much, not having schedules. And then we're going to be looking at all of the participants are updating progress so that we can go ahead and compile some information that's more specific to actual releases. Now, this, of course, as it was indicated in our first board memo response, but it has not precluded us from doing anything behind the scenes with the partners, or, you know, if there's one issue we can deal with and move things forward. Those things are all still occurring. So this is kind of in addition to supporting all the current processes and anything else we're trying to do to support young people in possible release from juvenile hall wherever legally permissible. So did I see another hand, or are we okay with this agenda item? Sharon, do we have any public comment?
No, we do not.
No. So we're going to move on to item 3D, the County of Los Angeles JJRBG spending plan update. So I know most of you are aware that the board adopted, I just wanted to give some updates, a global plan for the probation department's juvenile halls and camps. And including directives to probation and our partners with regarding SYPF. So it included many things, the staffing that Josh, you mentioned, and our process and what we were supposed to do with the staffing and the positions, working with DYD to finalize, and DYD and JJRBG to finalize programming. And then DYD was looking to, I think it was execute additional sole source contracts and do things with credible messengers. And it also talked about short-term and long-term facility plans, right? So that was the whole global motion. The update on step-downs was in there as well. And then different types of programming and engaging young people in programming for SYPF. So I'm going to ask Valerie Van Kirk to give us some updates on programming and then contracts and services for the SYTF facility population.
Okay, so good afternoon. I am currently the Bureau Chief over SYTF and CAMP. So just to answer that question that came up earlier, I started in March 6th, and immediately after that, we hit the ground running with looking at what our needs were for programming in SYTF. What we did is we pulled the youth and we looked at information from the IRPs, and we came up with six subjects that in areas of need that the that we found to pursue possible contracts. Those subjects were life skills, expansive programming, I'm looking at my list, some kind of barber training that would allow them to start maybe in the facilities and then maybe take that out, because that's a longer process to get some certifications and maybe license. Music production, some gang intervention, and culinary arts. Those were the six priority needs that came up after polling the youth and looking at information from the IRPs and the MDPs. We have since went out for work order solicitation on three of the items that came up, life skills, gender expansiveness, and culinary arts. We did not get any qualified bidders for culinary arts. We, life skills and gender expansive are going through the process and of the bid process. They were publicized, I think, for bidding around the 1st of May. And they then, once we go through the process and the evaluation and then the selection, we hope to have the contracts executed by mid-August. Okay. It's quite a process, but this is the work order solicitation process is faster than our regular contracting process, so that's why we chose to go this route. The other areas of interest regarding music production and gang intervention, we wanted to pursue some of our county partners and see what they could offer. Arts and Cultures does offer a lot of programming in the music production and engineering area, and then we have other CBOs that might be able to offer some services in the gang intervention and things like that. We have secured an MOU that's almost, I think the staff are going through the background process for affirmative athletics. That was already in the process prior to my arrival in March, and it's a recreational athletics program, not strictly for Barry J. Nider SYTF youth. Those are the updates that I have right now. Once we solidified that program, these programs and these subjects, we met with some of our county partners to discuss and go over these choices and these selections and these areas of need. And that's where we're at right now. We anticipate additional programming coming in soon. We do have a contract with SAPSE that is already in place, and I think LACO's providing a lot of services within the facilities.
So any JJRBG member discussion? Akila.
So just a general question. So Valerie, if there's a provider that's interested in providing programming, should they go through you, contact you, like how? Okay. That's helpful. Thank you.
I can't hit my unmute. I'm sorry. Yes. Just send the information my way, and then we'll see how we can move forward.
Great. Thank you.
Josh, go ahead.
Thanks for that update, Valerie. And I apologize if I may have missed this because my headphones disconnected for a moment, and I don't. So forgive me if I did. Did you? Were you? Maybe it doesn't matter, but did you mention or how does this connect to the board's motion from that same day on the coordination with the Department of Youth Development on programming approaches? I don't know if I know that there's probably a process behind that. So can you speak a little bit to that? And if, like, to Bakila's question, right, at some point, how do we think through how the various departments are working together in that capacity?
So I've met with Department of Youth Development several times, but primarily regarding the Credible Messenger program that they're offering, and they're now embedded in the halls. On March 23rd, when we had a meeting, like a subcommittee meeting, we just met to introduce myself and bring up the fact that we had looked at these subjects. We have not really gone into detail with DYD. They're also working on increasing their programming, so that's something that we can circle back and probably meet with them about and embed them in this process.
Any other JJRBG member discussion? Shaylon.
Will staffing remain the same on SYTF, or are you contemplating moving, shifting around staffing for that unit?
We're selecting staff based on the bid process. We put, as you know, the SRNs went out for 115 positions, both for Kilpatrick and Barry J. So we are allowing staff to bid. We posted them again recently because some people missed the deadline to bid, and there are people who are interested in staying at Berry J now, especially knowing that Los Padrinos is the new location, right? So it's going to give another opportunity for more staff to bid, and then we're going through the selection process. And we actually interviewed, but I anticipate that ramping up based on our short timeline and getting this Berry J staff. That's kind of the process. There will be people in place. There will be some of the same people and potentially new people. A few people have bid from other camps and facilities, so there will be some new staff, but we anticipate it primarily being staff that are already working with those youth. If that answers your question.
Yes, thank you. Shaylin, did you have anything else your hand still raised? I wasn't sure.
No, thanks for checking.
Okay. Thank you. Any other JJRBG member discussion? Josh.
Yeah, actually, I just want to follow up on the staffing question. It's sort of being reported at the BACC, but is it still the case right now that some of the staffing challenges are also impacting access to programming just simply because there aren't enough staff to support broader access? And maybe that's just the first question, if you're still sort of seeing that.
I would like to say that we are still seeing it, unfortunately, but I think it has improved because we've found some workarounds. We're really, really trying to get the youth out to per activities, but it is still an issue.
But I appreciate that. And maybe one question or one, not something necessarily that has to be answered today, but to the extent that there are workarounds that, you know, with existing programming with other county partners, as the process with DYD evolves to create some, you know, supported spaces where the programming could be accessible, it may be helpful again for the spending subcommittee to be able to have that type of strategy in mind when thinking about what types of county departmental or community-based partners might be able to create workarounds and get, you know, deeper access to programming for young people, even in the midst of the staffing challenges that might be there right now.
Okay, Luis.
Ms. Anker, at one of our last meetings, we had an update with regards to the youth being moved to Kilpatrick, and we were given information with regards to timeline of how many kids were going to be moved, the screening process, what was being done to move those kids along. So, and it's been a while since we had updated information on that. So the two questions are, what is the current screening process to move kids, youth from Berry J to Kilpatrick? That's the first question. Second question is, what timeline do you have moving forward once you've identified those youth to move them over to Kilpatrick?
So right now we have 20 youth at Kilpatrick, and honestly, we cannot add any more without adding more staff. So that would be an issue. The process, the caseworkers conduct an MDT prior to and they usually do it the day before, so the youth don't know who's going, and they move within a few days once the decision is made. The process has a lot to do with program participation, how they're doing in school, stability in the program, minimal incidents, and that is all handled through an MDT. And then within a few days, we try to get a move once the decision is made. But right now, we cannot move anymore because we would have to add staff to Kilpatrick.
Do you have any idea how many staff members you would have to add?
I do.
Okay.
For every building we open, we need at least 9 line level staff. Every building right now, the way we have it set up is 6-2 a side, so we would have to add 9 to cover the shifts, and then we have also have to have add approximately 3 night staff. So that's the unfortunate thing, is where do they come from, right? They might come from juvenile hall, which we're not ready to do. There's a few other things that we have to obtain approval. We don't have sleeping quarters. That's an issue. We don't have sleeping quarters because they're on a 56-hour shift. So that right now we're maxed out with sleeping quarters. So there's some plans to possibly to increase sleeping quarters nearby at camp. Is it Camp Miller, I believe? But that is also going to require some board approval before we move forward.
With regards to that staffing, you said?
With regards to adding additional sleeping quarters.
Okay. One last question.
I'm possibly adding staff, yes, to increase the population.
And this goes back to my original question, which was obviously the BSCC vote was change things substantially, but it was mentioned that there is trailer language in the governor's upcoming budget that would give BSCC authority over SYTF. And it was hard to determine how they would, what decision they would make once they gain that authority to be, the agency over SYTF, knowing that. Are there plans, or what would be the plans once SYTF comes under the authority of BSCC? Because now that includes, it throws Barry J. into the mix once again.
Well, I'd like to say that we're, even without their authority, we're going to do everything that we can to stay consistent with what the regulations require. I mean, they're obviously there for a reason, and for the safety and security of the youth and staff and things like that. So we're trying our best to follow that, but staffing has interfered and put us in this situation. So the plan is to staff it as necessary to do the proper programming, provide all of the needs to the youth, and also meet BSCC regulations, regardless of whether they have oversight right now or not.
So the mindset is you're working under, like you just said, you're working under the notion that you're going to do this according to the guidelines where the BSCC has direct authority over SYTF or not, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Okay. Thank you.
Karen.
It's just a related question. I know at some point with Kilpatrick, they were requiring a very high staffing level. Has BSCC shifted at all on that, or are they still kind of requiring something higher than normal because of, I think, some security issues with that camp? Just wondering if there's any update on that or any further information. Thank you.
Yeah, I can speak to that. We were at a 1-to-1 based on some of the security enhancements that had to take place. We are no longer doing that.
Thank you.
Josh, is that a new hand?
It is a new hand. I'm sorry to be asking too many questions. Yeah. I was just gonna ask, I mean, just to be transparent, I think I have been hearing from some folks that essentially the entirety of the SYTF staff is being reassigned or has been reassigned. And I don't know if you can speak to that, but the reason it feels relevant to programming is obviously just, you know, there are some relationships that would be for continuity's sake, but I'm not sure if you can speak to that, because it feels like if it's not true, it's the kind of rumor that it's worth speaking to. And if it is true, I mean, I'm sure there are reasons for that, but better understanding that so that as we think about how do we support the environment and a space of restoration is probably helpful for us as we process. I mean, again, I think a lot of this is going to end up being initially discussed in the subcommittee space and brought back here for a higher level discussion, but that kind of information just feels helpful. So I just wanted to ask that publicly, since I am hearing that from folks and it might be wrong. So just to put it out there.
If you're referring to the SYTF staff that are assigned to Barry J, if that's who you're referring to? There's a handful of caseworkers that are assigned there, and they have been assigned to be placed in supervision inside the buildings with the youth that they currently work with. Supervision, unfortunately, is high need. We have to have staff in the buildings, and that was a decision that was made several weeks ago, and they are supposed to start tomorrow.
So just for clarity, hello, Ms. Van Kirk. Just for clarity, they have not been reassigned away from the youth, so they are still working with the youth. Just supervision has been added to their duties. Is that what you're saying?
Supervision has been added to their duties, but we are actually working on obtaining assistance for some of the other duties that they have, because they need to be in the buildings right now. This is temporary until we staff it up.
Okay, if there's no other member discussion, Sharon, do we have any public comment?
We do not.
Okay, I'm going to move on to other matters, public comment. If there's any JVRBG member discussion on this in general. As mentioned, I just want to say we will have a meeting with the spending plan ad hoc subcommittee in the next few weeks, and then schedule an in-person JJCC JJRBG subcommittee meeting shortly thereafter. And we are looking for locations, and we'll let you know as soon as possible and work on both of those. We're working on both of those. Okay, Sharon is, Bikila.
Sorry, just this quick question. I'm just trying to follow the discussion around the special recruitment notice. I know that went out, I think, was it April, March? I don't remember anymore. But I thought the goal was to get about 100 new staff, or 100 staff on that special recruitment notice. I guess how many has that yielded? Did that yield? If I can follow.
So there were 115 positions posted.
Right.
We filled approximately 50. Not all have been moved in place yet, but
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, Sharon, do we have any public comment for agenda item number 4?
We do not.
We do not. Okay. So we are 1 minute from adjourning. I just want to, we're probably looking at an in-person meeting the week, we're hoping, of June 12th sometime. But we will work with the spending plan ad hoc subcommittee and go from there. And we will let you know as soon as possible. And we were looking for sites. So we want to thank you very much for, spending this time and helping us to kind of regroup and catch up and then keep going with the work of JJRBG as we move together toward the summer and finalizing the spending plan with programming and then going from there. So thank you very much, everybody. The meeting is adjourned. Have a good day.